Hi, everybody, and welcome to 620 Patio, a Laguna Knot Media production. And I'd like to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and we will get started in the show. As soon as my co-host shows up, we'll be going live.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the man song.
He's the man. He's the man.
I don't take no crap from anybody else but you. I wear the pants around here when I finish with your laundry. Cause I'm a guy you don't want to fight. When I say jump, you say you're right. I'm the man of this house until you get home.
He's the man. He's the man.
What I say goes around here, right out the window. And I don't want to hear a lot of whining, so I'll shut up. The sooner you learn who's boss around here, the sooner you can give me my orders, dear. Because I'm head honcho around here, but it's all in my head.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I can have sex any time that you want. Because I'm a man who has needs, but they're not that important. But don't expect any flowers from me, because if I'm not mistaken, you prefer jewelry.
I'm the king of my castle when you're not around.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I'll drink and watch sports whenever I want to get in trouble. And I'll come home when I'm good and ready to sleep on the couch. Cause a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do, and I'm gonna do what you tell me to, because I'm top dog around here, but I've been neutered.
He's the man. He's the man. You the man.
Welcome, everybody. We're doing our show tonight on emasculation. Welcome, Everett. How are you doing tonight?
Hi. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, good. How's
awesome.
My
doing good.
How are my hostess with the Moses? Lucky me.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm waving. You guys can't see that.
So anyway, without any further
ado. Oh, and you are?
I'm Shane TVG. Okay. But hey, by the way, I do want to give a big shout out to everybody across the world. We've got listeners in the UK, Sweden, Germany, Australia, Canada, and Mexico going on. We've reached level 3 in 5 shows. That's
yep,
pretty
that's
good.
Awesome. Wow, we're so thankful for you guys.
Anyway, we're thankful for everybody out there that's listening and downloading our show. So without further ado, let's get into the show. What do we got, Lucky?
Okay. Well, we decided on this topic because of a topic that I really wanted to do, and this kind of ties into that. So next week will be kind of like a part 2, and so I'm just going to give you that little teaser for now, so you have to listen to the whole show to see what next week's show is. So tonight we're going to talk about emasculation.
Emasculation.
Yes.
Sucks.
It does. Did you know that it typically is a woman to a man?
Yes, typically.
Typically. But it can be a woman to a woman.
Yes.
Especially if they're in some kind of competition.
Right.
You know, you always want to.
Welcome, Shelby.
Well, not want to, but it does happen between women to
Welcome,
women.
Welcome, Miss Sue.
And it does happen men to men. I have never personally been in a men's locker room, but I would think that all the kids in the high school locker room, after the game,
Welcome,
after
Simon.
PE,
Welcome,
this could very easily become an emasculation situation, but you don't even know it. So first I'm going to tell you what emasculation is.
There we go.
So the current meaning is to deprive of strength, vigor, spirit, or to weaken.
Yes.
So it's a very general term. I mean, those terms are very general. That's why I said it can be woman on woman, man on man. But the actual true meaning, and I didn't know this, the true meaning of emasculation is to the removal of both the penis and the scrotum, the external male sex organs. It differs from castration, which is only the removal of testicles. When I was doing research, I saw many cultures do this, or did this, probably not now. In like the Asian cultures, they did it to like their princes.
Mm-hmm.
So that they, because some of them like had, still had a feminine look to them, but they would emasculate them so that they could brainwash them into thinking and making them do whatever they wanted. So that when the king died and they became king, then they were already, right, you know, under somebody else's power, if you will. So I know a lot of what we're going to say is going to sound like woman to man. So we don't mean it to only be that way. So when we say, you know, women, how can you make your guy feel less emasculated? It's just because that's how our research led us. But just as you go through this and listen, just make sure you keep in mind that it could be woman on woman, man on man, could be friends, could be enemies, could be partners.
Yep.
It just means to make somebody feel less about themselves, weaken them.
It could be your boss or coworker.
It could be, absolutely.
Yep.
Yes, especially if you're a micromanager, which you're constantly in everybody's stuff and making sure it's being done properly. Yes. Or your way. Yeah. Never, doesn't necessarily mean properly. So that is very true. It does happen in the workplace. So some of the signs that are present when somebody's feeling like they're being emasculated is like if a person decides all of a sudden, you know, they're like really confident, but then they're like, I can't make a decision. They don't say those words, but they're like, what I would rather you pick, because they feel that if they pick, it's going to be the wrong place or it's going to be the wrong thing. So they would rather the person that may be doing the emasculation, let them decide so that they stay out of trouble.
Wow.
Okay. So, if they used to make decisions and all of a sudden they don't, that could be one, a sign. Let's see. I have lost my place.
That's okay. Let me tell you a few things that, you know, are from a man's point of view that a woman shouldn't say to their man or a woman to woman or anything. We're going to put this, you know, if you find your wife, husband, boyfriend, boss is starting to communicate less with you about his, about, you know, work or stuff, then that could be a sign of emasculation. Here's one thing you don't want to say. You don't want to brag to them about your sexual history or inexperiences in life, you know.
You don't want to know about all of the partners and how wonderful they were. That makes you feel confident in your relationship with your partner? Mm. I don't understand.
You don't. Yeah. Yeah, don't, you know, sex is a big part of a man's mind. And if he knows he's not as experienced, you know, as you, he'll just want to go out there and notch a few more to feel man enough again.
That's true.
It could happen, you know.
I found my place. Okay. Thank you. So when here we go with the pronouns. The man decides that they can't make those decisions. That was the
Welcome
one of them.
Bella.
Allowing their emotions to dictate their actions. So they, you know, need to get really pumped up to feel manly in order to, you know, go out and mow the lawn and, oh, you know, they just kind of have to let their emotions and do the drive their actions, second guessing any decision that they actually do make. So if they finally do make a decision, okay, we're going to take a trip, and they say, we're going to go to Texas. Well, do you really want to go to Texas? Should we think about somewhere else? You know, they second guess
really?
A decision
I
that
really
they actually
want to
make.
Go to Texas.
I think you're just saying that because
Dallas
I said
Cowboys.
It originally.
No.
So yeah. Second guessing any decision that they actually do make. Many men are afraid to act like men because their manhood is rarely celebrated in everyday life. So they'd have to see this men acting like men in movies, in the military, and sometimes like contact sports. So what I took out of that comment was that, you know, men used to be manly. I mean, and there are some, I'm not saying men aren't. So you think of the brawny guy. That's a manly man right there. But if somebody wants to stay up on their haircut every 2 weeks, even though they don't need it, are they less of a man? No. So why do we make them feel like less than a man if they want to get a manicure or go get their neck waxed? You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, yes, people can take things way too far, but if they just want to make themselves feel better about themselves, just like a woman does, why does that make them less than a man?
Right.
But isn't that something that you men razz each other about?
Of course.
Why?
I don't know.
It's just the manly thing to do.
It's just the manly thing to do. Sorry about that. That's not supposed to come through. Okay.
Sorry.
Can't end it. Thank you. There we go. Sorry about that.
Power off.
Okay. So turning the Bluetooth speaker off. Thank you. So we do this live, as you can tell. So one of the key things to do is mutual respect in a relationship. You know the golden rule, treat people how you would like to be treated. I can't imagine that somebody would want to invite somebody to treat them and make them feel bad about themselves. So why would you do it to somebody else? You know, I know there are a lot of more sensitive people nowadays. Things that used to not bother me when I was a teenager worry me now. Oh, am I going to upset somebody? What are they going to think of me? I had an episode earlier today about that, actually. Why should I worry about how, you know, if I wanted to treat somebody, I can't put a thought together tonight.
Cindy had asked, is this a dominant thing between individuals?
It can be.
Yes.
Absolutely can be. It can be like a bullying situation. It can be a form of control. Because sometimes people emasculate others because they feel like they've lost control
mm-hmm.
of a situation.
Exactly.
And so in order to gain control of something or someone, they make others feel like they can't contribute. No matter what they do, it'll never be enough. You know, those are things that emasculation process happens.
Right.
So if somebody wants, the definition of control is the power to influence or direct people's behavior or the course of their events.
Right. Thank you, Bella.
And it, as a verb, it could be determine the behavior or supervise the running of. So that I would say it's more of the noun.
Right.
That we're talking about here. Sometimes emasculation can lead to abuse. So it could end up being a verbal abuse situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when we were growing up, that wasn't a thing. It usually, I mean, it happened, but they didn't call it verbal abuse. They just, you know, considered physical abuse.
I've been in abuse. A relationship or two about that. Yes.
The verbal abuse.
Yes.
The belittling and the, you know, doesn't yes. matter what you say. It's always, if you say black, it's got to be white.
Exactly. The pen is red and it's yeah. black all day.
I can understand, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. That person is never going to be happy.
Yes, masseuse, narcissistic, yes.
Absolutely. Narcissistic people tend to emasculate others.
Yes.
Because they feel that they're the only one that matters. And so if they're not getting the attention or if they're not getting enough attention, then they tend to emasculate others so that they can feel better about themselves.
Right.
Which is, again, is... being in control of the situation.
Exactly.
Some people are really good at even like manipulating the situation so that they make the other person feel like they're in charge, but really I'm feeding you or I'm leading you to you what I want anyway.
Right.
So that could be a manipulation kind of situation.
Exactly. Yeah, don't take over. Don't push them aside and take over a conversation or an argument. I mean, especially because you believe he or she is not arguing his case well enough. You know, the fact that you intervene will make he or she believe you think he or she can't stand up for himself. Hmm. Yep.
So some things that happen. That make you, it's called engaging these common ways that women emasculate. Making jokes about how he's a kid or doesn't do enough around the house or, you know, doesn't do the laundry, doesn't fold my underwear properly. Is it really that big a deal if your underwear are folded? In half and then a half again, or in threes.
Their underwear drawer, then do whatever they want.
or socks.
Right.
We've had this sock conversation before.
exactly.
You know, it's I'm never going to fold your socks right, so I'm never going to fold your socks.
exactly.
bossing him around, asking him for help, but then doing it yourself because he didn't do it right.
Yep.
You know, I have learned in the position I'm in now at work, I cannot focus on the how.
Right.
I have to focus on the what. So I'm a process improvement person. I'm an analyst. But if I'm trying to teach somebody something, I might show them the way I do it. But I definitely show them what the end result is, because that is the what. The data needs to come out this way, a report needs to be formatted that way, whatever. So that's right. The what. How they get to that point, I can't control that.
Right.
I have to let that go. And that was something that was really hard for me as I transitioned into this position. I grew up, I've matured in my position, and I know that I can't make them do it the way I do it. And just because I do it my way doesn't mean it's the right way.
Exactly.
That's my how.
Yep.
So let the how go, focus on the what. So if your husband is doing the dishes and he washes the pots and pans first and then ends with the glasses, guess what? The dishes are done. That's your what.
That's right.
Who cares about the
I
how?
I always wash the glasses first. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, I know. You do the silverware, then the glasses, then the... I know. I do the same thing, but I'm just putting that out there.
Right.
Be happy they did the dishes. That yes. they contributed.
Yeah.
You know, they picked up something from dinner and they got the 2-pound Welcome bag of cheese instead of the 1-pound bag.
Yep.
Is that really that big a deal?
Yeah. I don't need clogged up anyway.
So don't worry about the how.
Right.
Just worry about the what. You have cheese. He went to the store and got the food. Comparing him to another man.
Oh, yeah.
Very bad. No, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, my ex didn't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's
right.
I don't want to hear
right.
it.
I even heard a woman tell her husband, why don't you clean house as well as
so-and-so Debbie. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just made up her name, Debbie. Yeah. I've seen that happen too. So.
Not allowing him to have his or own space or his own time.
Yeah.
Now, as we found out last week, in the Language of Love show we did, if you missed it, you could download it. The quality time is a language of love. Yeah. So if your spouse, that's their language, you either compromise
right.
or if they want to spend your time or all their time with you 100%, you still have to figure out some compromise so that you can get that break too. I'm not going to go more doubt into that show,
right.
but just be careful with this one because yes. it could be their language of love that they don't want to go out and do things with a lot of people because yeah. they want to spend time with you. Just right. kind of tread that one lightly. And then not taking like his salary or his job or his yes. contribution seriously. Those are also a common way
yeah.
that women yeah, do emasculate.
Yeah, yeah, a guy is, you know, a hunter. He's a gatherer.
That's very true.
I mean, subconsciously, that's what we are.
Mm-hmm.
We hunt, we gather. So no matter what we provide, we're doing our best to provide for our family.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's, if say you, the best job you can get is flipping burgers at McDonald's. You know what? At least you're out there trying.
Yep. It can put gas in the tank.
Yeah, yeah,
or the
yeah.
gas
so
tank,
if
yeah.
If your you know, significant other puts you down for that, that is not a good thing.
No.
No. At least he's trying.
At least he's trying. I mean, he could be laying on the couch.
He could be. Could be. Right. At least he's trying to do something.
Absolutely. So do you know why women typically emasculate?
Well, tell me, Lucky.
They do it to protect themselves from sure. being hurt or let down. Uh-huh. So sometimes in a past relationship, they, you know, were maybe cheated on. And so they don't trust. So then right. they constantly emasculate so that their man doesn't have the desire to go anywhere else. Because they're right. like, eh, I ain't a good man anyway. I'm just going to lay here on the couch and be sad, you know. But it can backfire. But I'm just saying.
Right.
So that's one reason why. They also do it because they have a story of their background. They're always disappointed by men. So they have to do just about everything themselves.
Right.
They don't like to ask for help. They just want to take care of things on their own.
Ooh.
Not necessarily a bad thing. But to hold that over somebody else, to make them less of a person, like, let's say, you're supposed to mow the grass. That's your chore, whatever. And, you know, you've been sick or you hurt yourself at work and you're like, I'll get to it as soon as I can. And she just hires somebody to come and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, you can't do it anyway,
right.
you know. It's not your fault that you're hurt from work or whatever, but they make you feel bad because you didn't get
yeah,
up and
yes,
go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Go do that. Women think that if they put them down just a little bit, maybe they'll step up.
Right.
Well, that's not true either. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes they do it because they tell themselves that that guy is not being masculine. So we have to be the masculine one so that we're in control because somebody has to be in control. I have been guilty of that in a past relationship of mine. Didn't realize it,
right.
but definitely did that.
I think a lot of time when people are young, they don't realize that too, because, you know, you think of people that come out of high school and get married, and in the high school they play the game, you know, with mm-hmm. the men because mm-hmm. their friends did it and that's what they did. And then they don't realize really what a relationship is in that fact too. So older you get, the wiser.
You absolutely.
Yes.
You figure learn out, from you figure mistakes. Out the what.
You learn, yes. You figure out the what, like you go back to what you're talking about. The
yeah.
What. Yes.
And then the last one is because they tend to act from exhaustion, frustration, or being angry, that they aren't being led or protected and provided for in the way that they want to be.
Right.
So if they don't, if the woman and doesn't feel that they are being treated the way they think they should be, then they tend to treat their other person badly.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we are not blaming all women. It's just, this is how the research goes, but just put it to your situation. It yeah. could be your boss. It could be your gym buddy. It could be whatever, you know, you guys figure that part out.
You know, one thing too, you know, if a woman says or a man says, I knew you wouldn't be able to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. That is like a, you know, hearing this line is like you feel painful, low, a blow to the crotch. I mean, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is to me.
I mean, it just shows that person has absolutely no confidence in you.
Yeah, and the worst part, you know, is he can't even argue the case himself because he's failed in your eyes. So you're
right.
You know, you lose situation. So then you just kind of clam up.
Yeah.
And
I could see that being a horrible statement from a parent to a child situation too.
Right. Right. Right.
You know
exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
So now I have to really pray that I never said that to Toby. You know, I mean, he didn't do so good his first semester. I hope I never made him feel,
nah,
you know, what if I said something? So
yeah.
Here I go head worrying head. About other
yeah, other things were on the subject.
Isn't that what we talked about earlier?
Right, right, right. Yeah. I think if you, you know, also you can make him feel like a failure. You may not say anything directly to him, but for some reason or another, or by your actions, you know, after doing all these things to him at once, you know, he starts to think he's just not good enough in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he will surely, you know, feel emasculated by that thought as well. True.
That's very true.
Yeah. So, hey, Aaron, you got anything to share?
I don't. I'm like agreeing with everything that you guys are saying, and okay. I totally get everything though.
Cool, cool, cool. Yeah. So just a quick list. I don't know at this point. Here's a few things that we've talked about, and I'm not going to go into detail on some of these because of I don't feel comfortable with it myself. Maybe somebody else will. You guys are welcome to call in as well. A few things is we talked about, you know, taking over, don't push him aside and take over the conversation or an argument, especially because you believe he's not arguing his case well enough. And then bragging about the history, of course, of your sexual history or his inexperiences, you know, that's one thing too. If we talked about the salary differences a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't care who earns the money as long as it's getting earned. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. I mean, it's for the same pot. It's you pay the bills.
Yeah. Or, here's one thing we didn't cover is if you call him a wimp in front of other people. You know,
degrading him in front of people. That's
really instead bad. Of, you know, just don't call him a coward just because he couldn't confront someone or deal with a situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I've seen women and a restaurant, for example, and the order's not right to them, and right. they want their man to take care of it, and the man's like, just my steak's it. Just damn fine. Eat your right. steak if you want to take care of it. Or if it comes to a discretion on a bill,
mm-hmm.
I've seen, well, let the wife take care of it. You know, right. she always handles that situation.
Or he's like, no, just pay the bill. And she's like, no, you wait. I'm going to make sure that we're not paying this. And they're
this 50 cents for the sour cream.
Yeah, you know, it's, yeah. But
yeah. There's some other, you know, definitions that go in, you know, like, if this is going to go so deep that we have to make another show out of it because we're trying not to dip too deep into the next week's show because it is...
Ooh, another tease.
Yeah, it's a big one. You know, it goes to being back, way back, the history of this goes about emasculation to men. There's another, a few things... You know,
I have a thing where one of the things that you need to do to kind of stop it, if you're doing it, is create a safe place for your partner.
Right, right, right.
That's what your relationship should be anyway. If it's not your safe place, then you guys need to work on getting it to be a safe place. You know, last week, the love languages, we talked about understanding each other, and going through, you know, figuring that out. Communication, huge, huge, huge portion of, being together. Don't approach the person as, they're the ones that are not right or causing issues in the relationship. Because that's a really bad way to approach it, because that's not true. Excuse me. If you go into it and a woman thinks that they have to change their man, that's not a good approach. You know, women sometimes feel like they know what their flaws or their imperfections are. You know, if this was an... It was present before you guys married or whatever. It's not something new. You accepted it before. You know, try and figure out why all of a sudden is it not acceptable. You know, talk to your partner about things. And you know, you can tell them, okay, you know, when you pee in the toilet, you're not hitting the or getting the water. You're getting it on the floor. That's not pointing out a flaw or an imperfection to make them feel bad. That's just to make life better in the household because it's a mess. And exactly. That person doesn't want to, you know. So I don't want to make it sound like everything you say to your partner that could be construed as a criticism is a bad thing. That's not what we're saying. It's purposely making your partner feel less of a person, making them feel less of a woman, making them feel less of a man, because of actions you take, things you do, and how you treat them. So it's not necessarily the woman stealing that from her man. It's just not having that safe place. And she may not feel safe in that relationship, not to the point of being abused, but that's not her safe space, and that's something that you guys need to work on together. There is typically it's the feminine is art for the masculine. It's gift. So be your partner's gift and let your energy heal his energy.
Right.
When you shame a woman, she'll often change because of the intense need for continuity, acceptance, and safety.
Welcome ship.
Men don't need a tribe to survive. So when a man feels squashed or emasculated, he doesn't then get motivated to be better. He retreats.
Right.
So the woman will change because she feels that she has to for that safety, but the man may retreat. That's what this is saying.
Yes. Yeah.
The way in which you communicate to your girlfriends is different in how you should communicate with your partner.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. And you should never take issues that are going on between you and your partner to your friends, because you'll end up embellishing it. And then it's a he said, she said thing. And then they know something about you that they shouldn't know. And then it's this whole secret thing. And you never should have secrets from your partner ever, right, ever, right, ever, right, ever. So tell him that it makes you happy that he's directing you, making decisions, and taking control. Men feel that their masculinity these days, they fear it because of how it's been constructed. Because now everybody's like, well, don't be so manly. You come across as a chauvinist. Don't be so manly. You come across as a bully.
Right, right.
You be you.
Exactly.
You know, that's who you are. So some women need to just kind of make their man know it's okay to be who you are. This is how you were made. This is all of your life decisions and all those paths made you who you are.
Exactly.
And you're enough.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, this is a definitely a thing, woman. Women do the two ship, but it can happen to a man on man in a locker room. You know, you put people down, you know, stuff like that too. Can happen women on women. I guess what I want to say is that I was in a, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. I'll let them know. I was in a relationship where I was emasculated the whole time and didn't realize it. And it was a couple, you know, people around me realized it, but I didn't. It took years for me to realize it. And at that point, I was in a committed thing to make sure I finished out the relationship as well as I could, because I did it for my children. So I've been in this situation, many times verbally, and not only just verbally, some physical too. I don't want to ever put down this relationship because it makes me who I am today. So you know, it does happen out there.
You love your kids,
right. So with that being said, it was a very eye-opening situation to realize that I wasn't that person that I was made to be by the other person. When I got out of it, you know, it took a couple of years, but yeah, I came around and realized, hey, I am a man, and I'm a very good man. I think you can ask anybody around me now that were, I'm very good. I think I'm a good man.
You are.
I don't know.
You are. Absolutely a good man.
But yes, being in that relationship really did suck. I'm just saying. But I did it and I got out as good as fast
you
as
had
I could.
To wait on me.
I had to wait on you. That's what it was. No, you did not come before the end of that relationship. So just so everybody out there knows.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. So
he had time to get out of that relationship and recover. So that he was who he is for me today.
Right. Yep.
He is a wonderful
Havertz,
man.
She's had a lot of these things that happened to me by other women.
See?
So there you go. It does happen.
It does. It can be sister on sister.
And really, you know, what it goes into is that, you know, it's a narcissistic behavior thing. Good. We're good on time.
Okay. Just know that you are only being aware so that you are helping the other person help themselves.
Yeah. Miss.
You can't change or fix them.
No.
But you can support them so that they feel safe, so that they can do the work to get themselves back to a better place.
To repair themselves, yes.
Yes, because it does take a long time to, even though you got out of that situation, that voice in your head,
exactly,
that takes a long time to ignore.
Right.
Or to change that thought process.
Right, right, right.
I still have those days where I, if you heard the things I tell myself, you would kick its ass because it's really mean to your wife. I have very negative self-talk.
You should.
I emasculate myself. There are days I do. I, you know, say I can't, I'm not enough. I say I can't fix this problem. You know, I don't know why you,
well, you had
put
a problem
up with me
the other
or
day. You had a problem with
and my cats
in your put up with the cats. like at work.
Yeah.
In your job the other day, you had
absolutely
a problem you didn't think you could fix, but you come up with a solution pretty damn quick. So.
Well, I appreciate that. So. Thank you. Thank you. So what we're saying is trust the process. When you are in a relationship, you know, you should be equals. You should make financial and leadership type decisions together. If you have to, set a dollar limit on financial decisions. If it's up to this amount, you're free to just do whatever you want. But if it's beyond this, it has to be decided upon.
Exactly.
You know, Shane has his own money. I have my own money. And we have a combined account. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't care what he spends his money on. But he lets me know if he's going to use our account, even if it's... Right. You know, I paid the bill. I paid this bill. Oh, I ordered us a new microphone, whatever. He lets me know, even though, you know, it's $30, $20, whatever. But he will come home with something and say, look what I bought myself. That's out of his account. I don't care. I have my account. I spend it on what I want.
Right.
So, you know, just kind of just keep those lines of communication open. You know, focus on the what, not the how.
Yes, exactly. Don't criticize or downplay achievements. And there's another one out there. You guys might not know. Don't tell him you seem bigger.
That would be devastating. Why? Be. You guys tell us you seem bigger.
Bigger what?
Boobs.
Nah, boobs are boobs.
Boobs,
small,
but...
Small. Anyway, we're not.
You guys do it all the time to us. Look at her boobs, babe. Hers are bigger than yours.
No.
Right?
I don't do that.
I never say that about a man's junk.
And most of all, don't make him feel like he's a failure in life. I mean, he's done the best he can. He's a hunter-gatherer. He goes out. He provide. If he does provide, you know, whatever it may be, whatever job you may have out there. At least you're trying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've seen people that don't try.
I've been there, done that.
Where's your welfare check at?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, been there,
yeah,
done that.
But I think most of all, though, it goes back to being man, how many years do you think this goes back? To the 50s, 40s? Which we're going to talk about more next week.
Yes.
We're going to go talk about this more next week because it's more about the independent woman. And I think our generation, which is we are
Generation X,
has caused some of it in our children.
Yes. We've possibly caused a lot of some of these issues. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So just a little teaser into next week. I think we've got a really full show. We're trying not to go into that because... the research we have here, it is, it's going to be great. The next show, I think you guys are going to like it. Unless anybody would like, Michelle, would you got anything to say?
No, I think you've done a really good job. My first husband was really, he was like that. He just, I mean, every time I've done something it wasn't right, or if I tried to do something nice, he would turn it around and make it like, you know, like a, well, for example, we had his sister and his brother-in-law live with us for a long time, just about the whole time we were married, and I was the only one that worked, and I would, of course, pay all the bills, but or supposedly pay all the bills, but anyway, I would put back, I had an allowance, and I would put that back, because I really didn't, you know, use a lot of my money, and so I put back, you know, what I had left each pay period, and I had saved up enough to where, you know, we could have a date night, you know, and yeah. I would just mention it to him, hey, I've got some money put away, why don't we, you know, just you and I go out to eat or catch a movie or something, you know, and he said, well, my sister needs it for this, you know, and I'm thinking, but, we need,
right,
you know, as
right,
a couple,
right.
we need,
together. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, and I, being the wife of submission, you know, I took that to heart, you know, and I would give it to him, of course, and, you know, he done whatever it was, gave it to her for whatever reason, you know, along with my paycheck. You know,
right.
I thought bills were getting paid, and I get a phone call from work one day from the bank saying, Miss Roberts, you are 6 months behind on your mortgage payment. And I'm like, what?
No.
You know, and I'm thinking, you know, so I get off from work and I go home, and nobody's at home, of course. You know, everybody's planting around town together. And, you know, so that was a bad situation, you know, when they got home, and it was just, I mean, he would not keep a job for anything, but yet I was always the one working. I was, you know, I didn't mean this to turn this into a,
me
show.
No, I understand
whatever you're comfortable with sharing.
Yeah.
You know, and so he was very verbally abusive. I mean, there were times that, you know, we would have knockdown, drag out fights. I mean,
yeah.
I remember one time distinctly, my sister kept my son overnight, and we, as in he and I, were to go to church to pick him up, you know, because we went to church together. And he decided that he wasn't going to get up for church. He was going to sleep all day. And, you know, that doesn't go well with me, because I am, you know, a church goer when I can, you know,
right.
And, he was just adamant and told me, no, I'm not taking you. And, I didn't have my driver's license then, so I had no choice but to rely on whoever did.
Right.
And, so to tell you, it was not down drag out. I was so upset and so mad. I went downstairs and got a knife and, went back upstairs. And I mean, we were both, I'm not saying I'm innocent, you know,
right.
But, I went back upstairs and I mean, I just had it in my hand and I looked at him and I said, you're either going to get up, get dressed and take me, you know, or, you know, the cops are going to come, you know, I mean,
right.
I was just going to be point blank about it. And, about that time, I didn't even pay attention to what time it was, you know, of the day. And about that time, what saved him, was my sister pulled up. So,
right.
You know, it's like God had an intervention in that marriage.
Yes.
And I fully believe that he got me out of that situation.
I'm glad you got out.
But the only thing I regret, I do have regrets in that marriage, was the fact that he got me out of it. But I had to pay the consequence and leave my son behind. I had no choice. I had no way of supporting him. I did have a job, but there was no way I could, you know, support him and I both.
Right.
I couldn't. There was just no way.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I would have had help from my sister, I'm not that type of person. You know,
right.
If I can't do it on my own, I can't do it. And, now, I mean, even now, I honestly, I rely on my husband now too much. Because I was always brought up to be independent, and, you know, don't rely on any man. You know, you can do this on your own. And which, you know, I don't even tell my husband now, I appreciate you. You don't know how much I appreciate, you know. But, you know, it takes a lot, you know. I mean, and I tell you, I'm a lot more, I've changed a lot within that marriage to this marriage.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
so.
It's just probably learning.
One of the things that is opposite of being emasculated is called being enlightened.
Yeah. Right.
So a typical response to the emasculated person is to ridicule the idea of their masculinity, or to make fun of the stereotypical male traits as relics from another era. To suggest that the enlightened male is to surpass all these typical male traits and to live free of all of these barriers. However, many times this thinking leads to new type of enslavement. So these men typically feel empty inside and have lost their access to their personal life force. So the enlightened male is not one that negates masculinity, but rather one that fully embraces it and then chooses to embrace the non-stereotypical male roles. Again, please use what pronoun fits best in your situation, because like in Shelby's situation, her first husband made her feel less of a person, so she can be, now she's this enlightened woman because she can embrace and choose to embrace those different roles.
Right.
So that's awesome. I'm so glad you shared that with us.
Glad I was able to help.
Yes.
Thank you,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. So that's basically what we're going to do here is we're going to go into our next week's show. We want you guys to come join us. And this all goes back to me. It goes back to the women's work movement, women's movement. Not downgrading women.
No.
I'm just saying, in our typical thing, it goes way back.
Right. So one of the things that we talked about the other night was that the boomer generation, we'll get into a little bit more details about that next week. And some of this happened before them, but they were the ones that really started and fought for the right to vote. Women working outside of the home. Or changing those roles. Men didn't necessarily take over the household things, but those kinds of things. Salary equality. Getting into those leadership roles, even in the military, you know, they started that process. Us Gen Xers, of course, are the offspring of the boomers. We were like, well, we don't want our daughters to have to, you know, worry about that. So we're going to raise them to be these strong women that can do things on their own.
Yeah, all
Which
of
is
this
great.
Has led to the emasculation of men. And this is global. This is everywhere.
Yes.
And it has been going on for years.
Absolutely. So we have taught our women, our daughters, if you will, of course, but anyway, that they can do it all.
Right.
And I remember growing up, there was this commercial and this attractive woman was in a business suit and she comes out and the song starts and she says, I can bring home the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And then her suit jackets off and she's in the kitchen and I can fry it up in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
And then her shirt's untucked and her hair's no longer in a bun and she's all sexy and looks at the camera and says, and never let you forget you're a man.
Right.
So I can make the money, I can still run this household, and I can make you feel like a man because I am all this woman. So we started this process, us Gen Xers.
Right.
Okay. So then the next generation that came, the millennials and the generation, which actually millennials are Generation Y, the Generation Z, which is my son. Now, a lot of them are to the point where I don't need a man.
Right.
You know, they can't do anything for me that I can't do for myself. So it's like backfired. So that's kind of a tease into the transition through the show next week. It's going to be a new take on the independent woman. I'm super excited about this topic. And we're going to have some interviews from other women about what their definition of an independent woman is.
Yes.
So I'm really hoping for some input from the audience. That's another reason why we're announcing it kind of now. So yes, what is your take on the independent woman? And I'll give you obviously my opinion, and it's going to be an awesome show.
It will be a great show. So if anybody wants to reach us, they can reach us at 620patio@gmail.com.
And that's O as in O-H-H.
H, exactly. 620patio@gmail.com. And I'd like to stay tuned coming up. We're going to have from Laguna Knot Media, we got the Pulse Variety Show with Denali Brett and Tucson Scott. So don't forget that. And also, I think there's a new show coming up at 8 p.m. Does somebody know what that is? Abbott? Dane? Dane? What's his name? I can't remember.
But anyway. Dane or something like that.
Okay.
Dane Gregory?
Yeah. Oh, okay. He'll be live on Podbean coming up at 8 p.m. Central.
Is he new to the Laguna Knot Media?
No, he's just a new podcast. Yeah.
Nice.
So,
well,
and
good
don't
for him.
And don't forget at King of Overnight Podcasting, Russell Brown with Outside of Normal, maybe coming to you tonight as well. Don't forget the Old Man's Podcast at 9 p.m. Central in the morning. And then we have the Shep's Shack, Herbal Talk with Shelby. And don't forget Strange Days with Oz. You never know what you're going to get on there. That is a good show. The Scott Show Potluck Podcast. I think they were on a little bit earlier. Woody Bush and the Graveyard Quandaries with Short Pants Robert and 500 Days to Learn About Love with 86 Bad Love and Low Standard and Poor's. So you guys get a full lineup and